just thank God for his mercy and his grace. And knowing a year ago, man, that I had surgery and it didn't go as well as I thought it was going to go, you know. And so I started having some complications. But God brought me through. And I thank God for the ministry of the One Another ministry here at Calvary's Love Ministries. Because I can say I benefited from that. The calls, the cards, the food, the love. Thank God for Calvary's Love Ministry. And thank God for the ministry, the One Another ministry within this church. And so, you know, going through that, your mind is all over the place. When you used to going from 80 miles an hour off down to zero, it's tough on you. I mean, it's tough on the mind. It's tough on the body because you ran to go and you wonder, man, I might not be able to do this anymore. I might not be able to do that anymore. And those things work on the mind. And so, but I thank God for the saints of God, because the world had a song said we all need somebody to lean on. And we do. It's true. It's true. But and then the house of the Lord in Christendom, we need someone to lean on. We need to pray for one another, encourage one another. And that's just what I wanted to share a little bit of today. But because, you know, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? You know, when it, let me just go ahead on. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. You all don't know, taking that medication, it took away some of my vocals at one point. I didn't have the sound coming out like I wanted to. I mean, just laying there, and I'm like, man, am I going to be able to sing like I used to sing? Not that I'm a great singer or anything, but I want to worship the Lord. And sometimes that medication just was settling like in my throat. And I was like, Lord. But I tell you what, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I give you thanks, and I give you all the praise, the honor and the glory, Lord. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I must decrease that you may increase. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you turn with me, John 14 and 35, I tell you that One Another ministry is so important. You all bear with me because they're still trying to get my glasses right. So, but I can see, and I thank God I can drive, and I can, you know, it's, I'm telling you, coming from 80 miles to down to zero, it was tough on me. I'm going to tell you, when you used to going and moving and not depending on anyone, but I thank God for my wife who's, I tell you what, I understand that helped me more and more and more. They say we understand it better by and by. Yes, I understand it. And John's here with just one of the One Another's. It's to love one another. And here in John 14 and 35. 13. And thank you, brother. And 35. Am I there? Okay.
Well, I want to keep moving on to 14. I don't know why I want to keep going to 14, but I shouldn't be there.
Okay, I'm here. By this, we all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is Jesus speaking. Let's go up a little further to verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Isn't that something? That we love one another. That agape love. You know, that unconditional love. Just as God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, I don't understand, how can you celebrate Christmas without the Christ? You must be born again to really truly enjoy this holiday that we set aside that may be his birth. But it's so much more than just and it's, don't get me wrong, it's exciting to see the lights and everything, the lighting of the Christmas trees in different places. But we must be born again in order to enjoy this birth of Christ, this Christ mass celebration. You know, they've turned this thing now so commercialized that it's taken away the meaning of Christ. As Brother Smitty, he administered, he said, let's keep the main thing the main thing. We've gotten away from that. Keeping the main thing the main thing. And if we don't teach in our homes and in the churches about Christ, the anointed one, God sent his only child, there wouldn't be any Christmas. I mean, God loved us just that much to pay for our sins. But yet this time of the year, you know, we get, you know, it's like a, you know, the world talk about the energy. You know, they talk about the energy. I want to feel the presence of God. Because everybody's talking about this energy. What energy are you giving off? What vibe are you giving off? We got to be careful, saints of God, we don't fall into that trap. We're living in perilous times now, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, to distort, to delusional. And we're running along now. We're just getting caught up in what the world is saying. They want to even change the holiday they don't even say Christmas anymore. They want to change it to something else. Everything else but Christ Mass, the anointed one celebration, the Christ child. He was the anointed one God sent here for us. And we're allowing them to dictate this thing. We got to stand up and hold the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I know this is Christmas time, but he is the resurrected one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But yet we're going on and we're allowing things and people, and I know they're having parties everywhere and everything celebrate, but it's not celebrating Christ, the anointed one. They've turned it into something else. And it's happened slowly over the years. It just didn't happen at once. It's just more of it now. But that we have love one for another. And the world is watching us. Children are watching us as Christians or believers or followers of Christ. That we have love one for another. That love that flows from his throne and unto his own. I mean, the children know these things. They want the real saints of God. I might as well not sugarcoat it, because these children are watching us. They're watching us come to church, and if we're doing one thing at home or whatever else we're doing, children are wise to these things. And they say, well, when they go to college, they turn away from God. No, they turn away because they see hypocrisy in our lives. This is what the children see, and they're wise to these things. They can research a whole lot of stuff in there. Doesn't make it right what they're researching, because they can get false information, you know? But we have a challenge to give them the truth, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we also love one another. That agape love is basically a self-giving love, a sacrificial love that seeks the good of another. Miss Torres, she so beautifully put it that don't just love, don't just live, but love. I mean, and I meditate on that thing sometime, and even when I go into Dr. Wan's office, I'll see it. Don't just live, but love. And that's a lifetime, folks. That's a lifetime. We constantly have to work on how is your love life? You know, people ask you, how's your love life? The doctor want to say it. People want to ask you, or you see commercial, how's your love life? But now, how is our love life? I'm talking about the love with God and with others. That's the love life I'm talking about. See, the world will take that and distort it and say and want you to think something else. But how is our love life, including our walk and our talk? Help us, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we live in a perilous time, saints of God, and the love of many is waxing cold. Because we're taking, listening, being evangelized by news stations and all this old mess that's on television and coming over the airwaves and not by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to check ourselves. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Saints of God, we don't hold up that bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Who will? Who's going to do it? We're holding up every other banner but the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Talk about the love we need for one another. But I felt that love here. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you. And I don't like, you know, talking about getting a little, because I thank God for a church family. I'm telling you, I don't take it for granted. And I know you all have received also from the calls and different things, the ministry here like that. But I don't take it for granted. You know, you could be having a rough day where you don't feel like praising God, where you don't feel like quoting the scriptures. But because somebody picked up that telephone and encouraged your heart, glory to God. Because somebody just sent a card in the mail, hallelujah. Saints of God, let's keep this main thing the main thing. This is why we're here, to love one another. Jesus is coming again. He's soon to return, but I'm mighty afraid the saints of God in the church, we're sitting back, we're not ready because we're looking for another man, we're looking for a sign, or we're looking for a woman. We're not looking for who's the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. This thing is real, saints. We must. Be obedient to the word of God. I know, yes, we're all human, but this love thing is something. I tell you, I'm like, wow, provoking one another to love. That agape love and the good works, yes. And of course, you know, that the love that my wife has shown me, God, during that time, man. Whew. Somebody said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, yes, the Lord on my side and the wife by my side. Glory to God. But you know what that contributed to now? I was treating her right, loving her right. So when times get tough, you know, when times get testing, you know, we in there. Or she didn't go to another room in the house and say, well, no, well, you know, I'm going to give you a dinner and that's it. Glory to God. I thank God because it's an ever-learning process. You know, no one's perfect, but I'm still learning. You know, still learning as we go. Because I tell you, the times we're living in now, we need somebody to lean on. And somebody say, well, how's your love life? Well, first, how's my love life with God? And then with others and whom I'm around. Because I tell you what, people notice us. They want to hear what we're saying wrong. They want to judge you on everything that you say. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. Oh, yeah. That's the thing now, you know. I thought you was a Christian. Let's turn to Galatians 5 and 13 to serve one another. Talking about that one another ministry here. And you all bear with me because this is the first time I've got up here and reading from these glasses and, you know, everything is just, you know. So I'm getting myself together, but to God be the glory. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity of the flesh,
but through love and serve one another. But to love, to serve one another. And I know some people think, hey, you know, that's a bad word. Just no, but we serve one another. We serve one another in a good way, in a holy way. And especially at home. It starts at home, too. I serve one another. I don't want to get out here and miss not serving at home like I ought to and get up, and everywhere else I'm serving. And get back home. My house should be my sanctuary. I should be able to go in there, close my door, and lift my hands to glory. And if I need to tell my wife anything, or she needs to tell me some things, and offload and we pray together. Your home should be your sanctuary, saints of God. We can't let anyone come in there or anything come in there and drive that wedge in there. And I thank God for that, because that serving one another is really, really important. And as we see here, that to serve one another, it takes something there. Maybe I have to take the high road, or you may have to take the low road. No, it's not about that. Let's go to submit. That's another word that Galatians 5 and 21. Let's fall down to that one. 5 and 21. So we're talking about when we're serving, yes, we have to submit. But it's not like you think. I know people think, oh, submitting to what? Submitting to who? I'm not doing that. Uh-oh, and I lost my place. No, here we are. Okay, 5. No, 6 and 2. No, 5:13, I'm sorry. You all forgive, bear with me there. Bear with me, that's another one. Bear with one another. Yes, 5 and 21. Okay. Well, wait a minute. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. But when we're talking about submitting to one another, we're just not talking about giving in. I want to use the word like yield at the, like you come into a traffic sign where you're yielding. You know how those signs come up there and say yield? Okay, when you think you have to yield right away, if they had up there submit. People be, oh, I'm not submitting to that one. I'm not submitting to that driver. It's hard enough to get somebody to yield and yield you the right away once you get there. So imagine if they use that. So those words are interchangeable, just yield. So sometimes we just yield to one another, you know, and listen. We can get some things done if we just listen to one another. But we have to slow down. I'm not going to always be right. My wife's not going to always be right. But if we yield to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not going to always be right toward one another. But if we yield, we slow down and listen. And we can reason together. Amen? I believe we can reason together. Well, oh, but they won't get that in Congress. I know they won't get that. Yielding to one another, receiving one another, serving one another. They won't get that. And we got to be careful because people are watching us saying this is a Christian nation and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But if we just submit and we yield to one another the right of way, just slow down. You know how that little boy, I don't know if y'all saw that clip, he was in there, he was saying, listen, Linda, listen. He was trying to get his mom, but I think he was repeating his father, you know, something he had heard his father say, but he kept saying, listen, Linda, listen, honey, you know. So if we just yield and listen to one another, you may not get it all at one time, but if you just slow down and listen, there's something in that conversation. I believe there's something in that conversation. I'm not always right. I know I'm not. And I have to come on down, I have to just deflate and come on down. Because if you don't, yeah, and we just need to reason together in Jesus' name. I've had to learn, and I'm still learning that. Because sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do because how can I put this thing? You know, you're in your house, I'm the man, you're not the man, you're not the boss, no, the bully. So that submitting thing comes like, hey, we just to one another, you know, submitting in the fear of God. That's where we must go as Christians,
submitting in the fear of God, to one another in the fear of God, in the reverence of God. It's not a bad thing, but that means if God is in charge, if we're submitting to him, and then we submit to each other, and if we get out of order, offline, if we go back to him, we can get this thing right. I believe we can get this thing right. But if we don't go to him, well, I'm going my way, and you going your way, we allow the devil to come in. And the Bible says, submit to God, and the devil will flee. But no, we don't submit it to my own understanding, submit it to my own ways, or my own anger, my own flesh. And that's and here come the enemy, come right on in the household. Now you got a mess. Ah, Lord, now the house is on fire. And you're calling everybody else to put it out, and all you have to do is go back and submit to one another. Lord, show me where we messed up. Show me where I messed up. You know, and don't be this the hothead and saying you was wrong. We both were wrong. But show me where I messed up, Lord, so we can get this thing right in the eyesight of you, Lord God, first. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll show up. It'll show up and it'll show out. If we're not right, when we go out in the public, it's going to show up. And it's going to show out. So therefore, that's what I say, let's love one another, serve one another, submit to one another. But in the same time, we're yielding to one another. In this Christian walk, as we go on our journeys, we're going to have some ups and downs. We're going to have some disagreements. We're going to have some dislikes, some arguments. But I must pull myself in and say, wait a minute. Lord, that wasn't me. I'm sorry. I said something I shouldn't have said. I done something I shouldn't have done. We have to go back and repent and get it right. We can't stay down there because that condemnation will jump on you right then and right there. And you're drowning your condemnation. But that loving one another, it all stems out of loving one another. The love for God and then the love for one another. It's something how all that stems out of there. But if we get our love life right, and I'm talking about the love with God, you know, because they advertise all this other mess on TV, but they're not talking about the love of God, the godly love, the agape love. Let's turn to Colossians 3 and 16. And this one's talking about admonish one another. Says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Admonishing one another, encouraging one another. Sometimes that word even meant to rebuke or reprimand, but I like to say that word means to disapprove or warning comes, you know, warning one another, you know. Before Pam and I got married, we were going to separate churches, and this young lady, she was there, and her husband, they had divorced, and she had a son, and she wanted a mentor for her son. And we would talk from time to time in the church, and I looked at the young fella, and we was talking. I tried to encourage him, and one of the church mothers there, she said, you know what, and this was maybe 2 weeks before we got married, and one of the church, I didn't know she was watching me, but this lady, she said, listen, you getting ready to get married, and that's not a good idea. You can't be a mentor to that young boy because I saw the way she was watching you. I was like, oh, my God. I wasn't thinking that way. She said, every time you go over to pick that young man up and spend time with him, you're going to see her, and you're married. That's not good. She didn't come to me bouncing around saying, I have a word from the Lord for you, brother, this and that. She was very humble. She was very meek and gentle. She disapproved what was going on. She gave me a little warning and in a loving manner. And I was like, Lord, you're right. I didn't see that, but that's how things happen. And it was maybe 2 weeks before we was getting married. And that's how things can creep right on in, leaving that door open. But I was going into it blind. I'm just thinking, hey, being a mentor to this young man and helping him out. But that church mother, she's deceased now, but I tell you what, I thank God for her. We need somebody to watch in a spirit, have a spiritual eye, not a condemning eye. And we need that maturity in Christ because I would have missed it. I'm going to tell you, I probably would have missed that until, you know, after then I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I would have caught it after a while, but at that time she said, oh, don't start it.
And I thank God for her. You see some things, you have to nip it in the bud, as they say. Don't start it. That wasn't a good situation for us. Pam didn't know it, but I shared it with her after we got married. Time to time, we still talk about that thing, how Mother Moore had stepped in, and she really warned me on that thing, admonishing one another. But had she not been dwelling in the Word, dwelling in the Spirit, and singing, had she not been built up, she would have missed it. Or she would have came over in the flesh. Oh, brother, I got a word from the Lord on you, this and that. What? And I know you all have heard all this kind of, all that stuff. A word from the Lord, this never. Wait a minute. Hold it. What is God trying to say to me then? But she admonished me in love, and I thank God for that. I really do. I thank God. And that's what we want to give. We want to admonish one another in love. You see something going on? And I know growing up as a child, I didn't always receive it from my mother. Because you know how it is. Everybody has been a child in here before. And when parents trying to tell you something, it's hard to receive it. Oh, I think I know what I'm talking about. Until then, you got to come back, wagging your tail a little low and, hoping they're going to forgive you and let everything go back on the right course again. But I tell you, it's a learning process. To encourage one another, because Christ's return is soon. And we can't walk around not encouraging one another as we ought in the Lord. You know, people are going through, as just Sister Michelle has shared, people are going through, and we must have that ear to hear, because people are sharing things, and we are, wait a minute, something's going on there. You know, I'm walking out of work one day and heard this young lady talking about her daughter was on the dark web. I didn't understand what the dark web was and how she was getting into this cutting thing, and I was like, cutting and this and that. I didn't know it was such a thing on the website where you can go to and learn all this crazy stuff. But it was true. And she was sharing that. I was like, oh, my God. So I contacted my brothers. I said, man, make sure you all know what's going on with your daughters on those cell phones and different things, because this thing is real. I didn't understand it at that time. So we have to be very, very careful, very mindful, very prayerful, because these things be happening right in the house and you not know what's going on. Until it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. But thanks be to God, the blood of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, glory to God. And in the name of Jesus, Satan has to go. Satan has to flee. And I'm going to tell you, when you come in that household and you declare the blood of Jesus over that household, and you declare Jesus' name, and we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Things going to change. Or somebody got to go. Glory to God. And that's just the way it has to be. But if we don't see those things going, and even if they go, you still have to pray for the children. Pray for your family. Keeping the blood, I don't care how old, the blood of Jesus covering them. I told my mother, never stop praying for me. I need that. Never stop praying for me. When you need it, you need it. But are we going to sit back and let Satan wreak havoc? And not tell the world that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus forgives? Or we're just going to continue to go on in this way when the Advent seasons come around, we get pumped up with the lights and this and that. We'll do everything for like four weeks, and then after Thanksgiving, everything comes back down. You know, go back as usual. Or we're going to let the love of God continue on when the lights come down and the trees come down. And the food are gone, and the relatives are gone, the family is gone, friends are gone. Are we going to continue on in the Spirit of Christ? Are we going to let his love dwell richly in us like we ought? How are we going to decrease that he may increase in our lives? This is where the test is. We're tested constantly, saints of God. But with Jesus in us, we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, I want to talk more about my testimony, but right now it's just a little bit, when I look back, because I dropped quite a bit of weight, as some of you know, at one time. But thanks be to God, it came back, I don't know how I got back, but it came back. I fell back to where I wasn't really eating, and then my wife started bringing that McDonald's chicken sandwich in there, and I was like, oh, God. First, I wouldn't do nothing but eat a little quarter of it, and I go back, didn't want anything to eat. And she kept bringing it in there, and I got a taste of the fries, the ketchup. And I got to go to a half a chicken sandwich. You know, I got to a hole, and then all of a sudden I went to the doctor, and my cholesterol was up. Lord have mercy. I'm like, Lord. Now I had to get deliverance from that chicken sandwich and fries. Something that got my taste buds back. But I'm just saying, you know, how the little things, you know, we take for granted that eating. When your eating goes away, because I don't know if the anxiety had jumped on me, but they're praying to one another. I'm going to tell you, that praying for one another, loving one another, calling one another. Oh, it's so powerful. You know, to know someone is caring about you, reading the cards and things. Put that picture up for me, though, the wrestlers there. When we're wrestling in life, we're going through in life, it's a wrestle. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And sometimes you may get tired, as the wrestler that you might see on the screen, that two young men, they're wrestling. And it almost seemed like you're going to be pinned. Almost seemed like your shoulder's going to the mat. Almost seemed like you're going to want to tap out. But just in time, somebody will call you on the telephone. Glory to God. Somebody will send a card in the mail. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody will just give you an encouraging word. Hallelujah. Just feel like when I was wrestling in my own strength, thanks to God, when I didn't have the strength to like pray like I wanted to, when I didn't have the strength to sing like I wanted to, my wife downloaded an app on that phone, and she put it on my phone and put it in the bed with us. Just like you would do a child with lullabies, she put that phone in the bed. And let those scriptures play. Let those prayers play. I'm telling you, saints, don't sit back and let the devil snatch your loved ones away. When she put that between us, and I know she had to go to work, and sometimes we'll play for hours until I would fall asleep because I wasn't sleeping like I needed to. But that a bad app. I mean, I know I wore that thing out with the anxiety, the depression, the prayers, and different things, and I just kept on playing it. And we kept playing it. She go to work, I kept playing it and putting it in the bed. Tears of joy. Tears of joy, saints. Glory to God. Don't sit back and let the devil destroy your love. Glory to God. I know some of you didn't know all that was going on, but I'm going to tell you. When I didn't have that strength, the Spirit and the Word were just bearing witness with one another and giving me that strength to get up, giving me that strength to go on. Of course, my wife was there coaching me on, you got to get out this house. You got to get moving. You got to get up. You can't stay in this house. You get too adapted to the light in the house. And I didn't understand all of that. And then I looked out the window and I saw this little lady. And she was going round and round in her driveway after she had had back surgery. And I said, Lord, and it sparked something in me. Because I was the guy in the neighborhood always riding the bike. You see me out, and my neighbor said, man, you know, this is not you, man. People are used to seeing you. You can't stay like this. And by the grace of God, my strength started coming back. I started thinking clearly. See, you can confess all the scriptures and know some songs until it hits you, attack you, and you have to fight. After you've come in from, you know, worrying about everything before I went into surgery, getting that, well, was this going to be right? That's going to be right. And then the enemy comes and attack you at your lowest point. And people can say, well, I couldn't get to that. If you confess in the scriptures, let me tell you, when you test it, you don't know what you'll do. But with the grace of God and by the power of his Holy Spirit working in me, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Saints of God, people are taking their own lives because they don't have that hope in Jesus. Some people don't have somebody to love them like that. Put their scriptures in the bed. I call it like the lullabies you would give a child.
until my spirit got built up. Glory to God. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful. When my mother was worried about me, mother-in-law calling me, worried. But I knew if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I knew if I could just keep pressing, but with the help of each other, loving one another, with the help of you praying for me. It's not on my own, because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The affectionate, fervent prayers. I could feel those prayers. It enabled me to get my shoulder up off that mat. Glory to God. It enabled me to get up in the name of Jesus. We got to tell somebody you can get up and live. Because Jesus lived. You can face tomorrow and all fear is gone. I know it's the Christmas time, but those resurrection songs still dwell in me. Because he lived, I can live and I can face tomorrow. And all fear is gone. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know Jesus lives. He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart, thanks. He lives within your heart. Sometimes you just need to be stirred up. But glory be to God. He always causes us to triumph. We don't hope like the world hopes. There's a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, life is worth living. You can face tomorrow and all fear is gone. I don't mean to get up here and do all of this, but and when I went to my doctor, he said, man, you're doing better. You're doing well. You know, they ask you all these questions when you go to the doctor. Have you had these thoughts, that thoughts, depression, and that? I said, no. I went back, and he looked at me. He said, well, yeah, man, you know, it makes you more thankful. I said, doc, I was always thankful. It made me have more compassionate for people going through. It made me rethink and reevaluate some things. And he looked at me, and I couldn't get no help then, but anyway, but I told him, I said, doctor, yes, I was always grateful, but it just made me think now, made me evaluate. People are going through suffering in silence. We got to tell somebody, let somebody know if you're going through something. Saints of God, we got the spirit of the living God. We have the word of God. We have the blood of Jesus. We have each other praying for one another, encouraging one another. Don't suffer in silence. Don't grieve in silence. Because it's not God's will for you to go through by yourself. You're not alone. You are not alone. So don't sit back. If we know somebody, throw the lifeline out there to them. Throw the lifeline out there. Encouraging word. And I know we've all encouraged people as we go and give a life-giving conversation to someone, but just don't sit back and do nothing. Well, if they had done this, no. Let's look beyond the faults and see the need just as Jesus has done for us. That's why God sent his only begotten son, not because we were so good or we were so deserving. And I just, you know, that song is so, I woke up one morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when I started praying more. I would just wake up, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, Jesus is working. Even when I didn't feel like singing, he was working. And I said, Lord, you are here. Making a way out of no way, I worship you. You are here, making a way out of no way, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Light in your darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. I know that's not one of the verses to the song, but it was a verse God gave me in the middle of the night. You are here making a way. Glory to God. It ought to be a song in your heart. Jesus, Son of the living God, Christ, the anointed deliverer of our souls. Hallelujah. When I didn't feel like lifting my hands because I lost weight and my shoulders was hurting, my legs was hurting, but thanks be to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. I'm just all over the place, but thanks be to God. And just begin to sing, and my wife would come down. I had the music playing in the kitchen sometimes, and she wouldn't disturb me. She'd just go back up. Because I had my voice back. She said, you got to sing. You're used to singing. And she knew I had to get my voice back. But saints of God, I'm telling you, sing and praise unto the Lord. I'm not a great vocalist, but I believe in giving him praise. Because you don't know what he's done for me. He's gave me the victory. And I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Saints of God, he gave me the victory. And I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Those just songs was in my spirit. Helped me to get up when I didn't feel like getting up. Glory to God. But I want you all to know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The prayers of the saints availeth much. The prayers from here from Calvary's Love availeth much. Thanks be to God. I'm telling you, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. But we need that song in our spirit. I don't care what song it is, let's lift it up to the Lord. Now, I have to get some of this weight off of me. But, with consistency, I'll get it down, you know. But I thank God for life. I tell you, when the enemy comes and all kinds of thoughts will run through your mind, you don't know what someone is going through until you've been there. And then you have more compassion to see exactly what's going on. Man, this thing is real. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And no one should be on an island by themselves. You need some help. Cry out unto the Lord and cry out to someone else. We need each other. Yes, we do. We need each other. And I thank God for that. I'm done. I thank God. But I don't know. I just had to testify just a little bit this morning. Because we serve a great God. And when you used to being, you know, going and moving like that, it's tough, man. Really tough. But I thank God. Each and every one of you here, Calvary's Love, and those who pray, cards, you know, the calls, just glory to God, the food, you know, even though I couldn't eat a lot at that time, you know, I just didn't have an appetite. I don't know what had happened. And the doctor looked at me, he said, something happened after the surgery. I didn't handle it well. I guess because of the expectations of my time of
healing and getting back to work and different things. And so that probably took an effect there. But I tell you what, glory to God. You know, it's so easy to sit back and say, you know what, I can't do this. But with Christ, we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Oh, glory to God. I mean, no, this is not one of those good Christmas messages, but he is King Emmanuel. He's God with us. Even when I wasn't feeling it, he's God with us. I'm telling you, if I could have had a little camera in there, you know, documenting everything I was going through, be like, what? No, man. Yeah. So, you know, when I saw my wife come in and she was crying and looking at me, she said, wait a minute. I can't let you go through this like this anymore. I said, wait. And then all of a sudden, something just hit me. And I saw her crying. I was like, God. I don't know. I just shook myself then. And like my chest came out. Wait a minute. I'm still a man. You know, and I had to get myself together. But thanks be to God for helping me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Because I tell you, in those testing times, yes, you don't want to be in no four walls by yourself after you've mistreated somebody. No. I'm going to tell you, no. That ain't good. It's not a good prescription. You know, you could get your food slid up under the door, tell you. You might get the heat and the air like you did. Yeah. Might shave, you know. Father, I give you thanks and I give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, oh God. I thank you and I give you praise, God. Lord, I pray that the word will fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in due season, oh God. That, Father, those who've heard the word, oh God, the hearts may be encouraged, Lord Jesus, to throw out the lifeline to someone, oh God. And I pray, Father, if someone's here who does not know your son Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life, I pray that they will not leave here on today, God. They will receive your son Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Christ child, who's now the risen Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. God, I bless you and I praise you in Jesus' name.